like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
The University of Tennessee has made an interesting announcement. They announced Monday that the College of Communication and Information has appointed Peyton Manning as a professor of practice in the fall 2023 term. He will join select classes during the academic year as a featured expert and work alongside the college's faculty to provide learning experiences for CCI students at Tennessee College of Communications and Information. You know what? Peyton Manning is damn good when it comes to the media world and the marketing world. So, but what is this teaching thing going to be? Become a professional quarterback and one of the best of all time and extremely popular, and then everything after that's really freaking easy.
I could make a joke about Tennessee education, but I won't because I know Broncos fans love Peyton Manning. So I won't stoop to that level.
You can't make a joke about Peyton Manning. He's untouchable.
I can make a joke about Tennessee.
Well, you can make the joke about Tennessee. Nobody cares.
But it involves Peyton Manning.
Don't say anything. Just keep Manning out, but then make the joke about Tennessee. Add a different character. I want to hear the joke now.
Because it fits the story.
You're saying Manning's not smart?
No.
He's like the smartest quarterback ever.
I'm not saying that.
I want to hear the joke now.
When Tennessee may not be that smart.
Well.
You gotta, to get to their level, you got to get down to their level. And, you know, he's a smart football player, sure.
He's arguably the smartest of all time.
Smartest football player, yeah.
Smartest football player of all time? Mm-hmm. Smartest quarterback of all
he's
time.
He's a good media guy, too. Maybe that's what he's teaching.
That's what he's teaching.
Oh, media marketing?
It's College of Communication and Information. So probably a little, probably that, PR stuff, all of that.
He's got to have a limit on that class, right?
As far as...
you're going to get like 1,000 sign-ups for that.
Yeah, there'll
just be... Just because it's Peyton Manning.
He'll be speaking in select classes during the year. But, you know, let me just say this. Now, yes, it is easier if you're a professional, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback... Anything you want to do after that, if you have a slight, if you just have a slightly above average personality, you can do a lot in the media world and go on and do excellent things.
Well, I mean, to Tennessee, Peyton Manning is third to Jesus.
Yeah, pretty close. But Manning, to me, is exceptional when it comes to media marketing and all of that stuff. His Monday Night Cast thing that he created, doing the Manning, the Peyton's Places, all great ideas that he has the money and the power to get behind and make a big deal. So, yeah, I think what he has to say would be, because if this were just like, I don't know, Angel, give me a random quarterback that's in the NFL.
Baker Mayfield.
That's in the media now.
Oh.
Boomer Esiason. If he's teaching a media class, I'm like, yeah, you were a pretty good quarterback, and then you're just on a panel. You're not, like, creating stuff out of thin air. You're just a part of a network and a panel, and you talk football. Peyton Manning is creating things. You know, he is an extremely talented guy, so I think it's a great story. I think it's really cool. How about James Harden? That is the story of the day. Well, aside from the blind side, that's not really the blind side.
It is the blind side.
We were all blindsided by it. Is it fair to say Michael Orr was blindsided by this news in February of 2023 that he was not actually adopted and it was all about money?
Coming to theaters, 2 years, the blind side.
Sequel. That would be good. Bring the same cast back. They could. They don't have any ties
make
to
it
the...
like a court disposition drama.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's make this bigger. James Harden, was that something that he was doing? I don't know where it was. He invited a bunch of people and media members, and he's like on a weird basketball court thingy.
It looked very like Roman or Greek forum-ish.
Yeah, like they were all...
like, gather around, peasants, and I shall preach to you the words of
the Republic.
Beard.
And they were in their little robes. So he's talking about the future and what he's going to be doing. He said, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Now, again, That is the 76ers president. And we know Harden wants out of Philadelphia. And then he doubled down. It was an Adidas media event in China. You're going to obviously have people think that that's a weird look that you're in China doing events. But whatever. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. It's a little strange that he's calling somebody a liar while he's in China. You know, I'm sure there's some lying going on there, right? Maybe. Maybe so. Is that a... First off, let me just go political on you for a second, Angel. We all know the shoe deals and China and the money they put into the NBA. Aside from that, but is it a good look to be in China promoting stuff for an athlete, for an American athlete right now?
Whose look is being affected by this? Is it James Harden's
look?
James
Harden's. Is it a good look for an NFL, NBA, any player?
For a guy that's not on
player?
An NBA team right now? Or just in China in general?
Yeah, no. Just in China. Like, is it a good look to be there?
I mean,
and promoting an event and having a media event there?
Tensions are high, but
still not like
they're
absolutely.
They're not going to turn away the American dollar. It's like, oh, American superstar come to China. Okay, come on.
What do you think he lied to James Harden about? Daryl Morey.
Contract numbers, negotiations, promises, playing time, leadership roles within the organization. I don't know. I think Philly sold their soul to get the MVP award, and it's gone downhill ever since.
It's really bad. And, you know, I mean, Joel Embiid said his fair share of interesting things over this offseason, saying, you know, I don't know if it'll be with Philadelphia, but I want to win a championship. Said stuff like that, and we need more help. James Harden and I can't do it all by ourselves. Meanwhile, this fantasy dream that we're on just continues. We got all this crap going on with the Sixers, and, you know, you got other teams imploding and talking trash to one another. Minnesota's saying so many weird things. Meanwhile, Aaron Gordon hanging out with the Joker. Where were they? Were they
in Sombor?
They were in actual Sombor, and he's watching Joker's horses race again. And we just, it's like this fantasy that never ends. It's just this Nuggets win a title and Joker's the best player in the world. They're going to raise the banner in front of the Lakers on October 24th. Oh, and Joker and Gordon continue what seems to be just a very awesome friendship that I would love to be a part of someday.
Yeah, I mean, I know he did this last year when Jokic was playing in the World Games. He went and watched him. I think him and a couple other teammates went. But Jokic, in terms of his off-the-court success, his horse took first place in the family memorial race, and I'm not going to try to say that. And then that's now his fifth first-place finish in seven races since May.
Bruno Lamar, right? Lamar? Is that how you're saying it?
Sure. Is a descendant of Verene, who's considered the greatest trotter of all time. This man has some championship horses with the Dreamcatcher Stables.
I'm just going to, as exciting as this all is, and I know you're going to roll your eyes and hate this, but every horse story I see of Joker, my mind keeps going right back to, how long is he going to play in the NBA?
It's 45 years, and that's what it is.
Does he have to? He doesn't have to.
I think he's a stand-up guy that would want to finish out a contract.
I hope so. He's not a stand-up guy when he rides his horses, though. He sits down in a little carriage thing.
He actually does race some of these horses himself.
Aaron Gordon and Joker, though, are they like what's Gordon getting out of this? Just hanging out? I just want to see your horses, man.
Hang out with his friends.
I think they're like best friends.
Yeah, he's Mr. Nugget.
I think they have moved. Oh, well, that is the thing about Aaron Gordon. He is Mr. Nugget. He was a man of the people. Him coming out of the arena, at a ball arena, with shirtless amongst the people, no security within, you know, 520 feet of him, and he's just in the crowd. Dangerous, scary, wouldn't have advised it. But Aaron Gordon, man, the respect factor went up. And it went up even more. Because that guy has bought in. Talk about a guy buying into a teammate. Buying into the star. Aaron Gordon was a star for a second in Orlando. But he knows, this is what I love so much about Aaron Gordon. last year when they were eliminated in the playoffs, Gordon sat up, did his post-game conference about how he's got to be better. He's got to play, you know, closer to the rim. He's got to be available to Joker. All those things. He's got to be there. And not only did he work on that physically throughout the offseason, leading into the season, and just kept that dedication to being that kind of player, I think he totally bought into and embraced the superstar that is Nikola Jokic. I think he said, hey, there's just more to it than that. This guy's a different type of superstar, and I want to connect with this guy. And yeah, he's probably having fun too, but this relationship, this friendship of theirs just continues to be unique. Obviously, Joker and Jamal have a great relationship too. But yeah, that was a cool story over the weekend as well. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. How about your boy Elijah Dotson, the undrafted rookie out of the University of Northern Colorado? Did he not look like one of the fastest men alive this weekend? The way he got around the edge, turned that corner, he was cooking, dude. He had 92 yards on 6 carries and 2 long touchdowns.
He's a beast.
Fast,
physical.
I don't remember him being like that explosive fast for UNC. He was good.
He had flashes last year, obviously.
Man.
The offensive line didn't help him a ton, but I think he had close to 1,000 yards rushing. So he's a solid back. You know, he spent most of his career at Sac State and then last year at UNC, obviously. But it's interesting, the connection there with the Chargers, Austin Ekeler as well in that running back room. You know, that's maybe there's Ekeler can talk him into signing Dotson to a long-term deal or something. Because, you know, undrafted running backs, and we know how much running backs are going for these days. Mm. You got two of them out of nowhere Colorado to some people.
But you know that even for Ekeler, who Ekeler has now arrived, for Saquon, for all the premier running backs right now, don't you think that deep down, whenever they see a, let's just call it what it is, Elijah Dotson right now in NFL circles is a nobody, or was. But don't you think that star running backs look at stories like that? I know it's preseason, but still, and go, ooh, they're proving the point. They're proving the point we're fighting, that running backs kind of grow on trees.
Well, if the Chargers don't sign him, he won't make it on the practice squad. He'll get picked up immediately.
That speed, man. What's his 40 time? Do you know? Because that, I watched those two touchdown runs like 30 times. You know, especially because he's a UNC guy. So you're rooting for him. But the way he turned the corner, he blew by those defenders, those cornerbacks and linebackers and safeties like they were standing still. And I know it's preseason, but when you shine in the preseason, and he shined, that was big.
He ran a 4.53 at his pro day.
4.53?
He's fast.
That's not that fast, though. But that was there. That's what they say, though. There's a difference.
Well, I think, you know,
running
a
40
little,
and then game speed.
He's a little smaller in terms of a running back, so that's just, he may just look like he's running faster, but he is fast.
He looked faster than 4.5 on that one.
And what I think is the coolest thing about it is if you go on Twitter over the weekend, all of these UNC Bears coaches and players are sharing that post. That's getting coverage to UNC.
It's absolutely a great thing. Yeah, that is huge for the University of Northern Colorado. And then McCaffrey.
You know, we're going to forget the Ekeler story and whatever he says. We're going to focus on Dotson. That's our Northern Colorado guy.
That's our guy. Well, Ekeler doesn't like UNC. I heard Tanner talking about that. But
him and Ed can go, you know, well, sit in a podcast corner and complain about UNC.
Ed deleted his post congratulating Elijah Dotson last year for getting all conference or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All Big Sky.
All Big Sky. And he congratulated him and then deleted it once he was kind of moved on from each other. So that's not very cool. You could have, like, taken responsibility for this. You could have been like, see, I saw something there. I'm a good coach. I know my stuff. But wait, you deleted it. That's not very head coach-like. Yeah, I think this goes back to the running back conversation, though. It's awesome for Elijah Dotson, but it also just reminds us all that do what the Rockies are doing, going to try to do with pitchers. Just throw running backs at your roster and hope somebody clicks. Hope something sticks. The Weld County Swami texting on Harden. Maury to Harden. No, that shirt doesn't make you look fat. Oh, maybe. Was that the lie he told? Dixon, he still can't shoot. James Harden. That's a big story today, man. James Harden calling Daryl Morey, the 76ers president, a liar and doubling down on the fact that he will never play in an organization that is that he's involved with.
He's a restricted free agent.
Harden? I don't think so, because he requested a trade, didn't he? Didn't he pick up his contract and then request a trade? Was it going to be a sign-and-trade type situation with James Harden? Yes, yeah. Sixers agreed.
Signed a two-year, $68 million deal.
So he's saying that they agreed to search out a trade upon Harden's request after he agreed to pick up his $35.6 million player option in June. But the Sixers' asking price was steep, and no teams, including the Clippers, were willing or able to meet it. So that's kind of what we're talking about even with some of these other players. Well, you bring up Austin Ekeler out of the Chargers. That's what he's kind of saying happened to him. I had no choice. Had to go back because they were asking too much. That's what we were seeing with perhaps Damian Lillard out of Portland. But yeah, you got a lot of drama happening in Philadelphia right now.
Well, and the difference between this and Damian Lillard is not Harden saying, I'm only going to play for one team. It's, I'm not playing for this guy.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Let's go.
That's anybody. Literally, Houston again? Don't care. Literally anybody. I don't care if they're a bad team or not. Yeah, you're right.
Like,
it's the opposite.
Oh, how come Damian gets a whole memo sent to the league and James Harden can do this? Because they're completely different situations.
Yeah. James Harden is saying there's one organization he can't play for. Lillard's saying there's only one he can play for. That's different. You can't, I mean, there's bad blood, bad relationships are going to happen, but you can't just lock down the entire NBA and say there's only one team I'm going to play for. And allegedly, you know, I know that they're saying he didn't say it now, but the agent went out and said, yeah, you can trade for him, but he's not going to like to play for you, for Damian. 23 minutes after the hour, Brian Howell's going to join us from the Buff Zone, talk a little Colorado Buffs football. And he said, Dixon said, I'm talking about Gordon, not Harden. Gordon can shoot just fine. It's called dunking the ball, Dixon. That's all he needs. 23 after the hour. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
New coach, new quarterback, new era. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Want to shout out to Shields out of Johnstown. You know I love that place. They have everything. It's like a gigantic mall for any and everything sports related. And they're going to have it there. But they got a Lego store too. They have a, you know, home decor section upstairs. I mean, they do have it all. And coming up on September 11th, and I believe we're going to be involved in this event from 5 to 7 o'clock, their CU versus CSU Fan Fest event. That is going to be awesome. That's going to be on a Monday, September 11th, to get us geared up for the Rocky Mountain Showdown.
That is that like entirely safe to do?
Don't know.
Get a bunch of CU and CSU fans in the same spot?
I don't know. Well, CU fans, do they exist in, you know, north of, I guess there's Buffs fans in Greeley and Fort Collins. Everybody's a Buffs fan that wasn't a Buffs fan. Now they're a huge Buffs fan. Until maybe after week 3, and then they won't be a Buffs fan anymore. Because the Buffs might be 0-3. They could be. Or 1-2. I'm going to say 1-2 after 3 weeks. They beat Nebraska. Don't beat TCU. And I think CSU's winning that game. Either way, we're going to have some fun prepping for that at Shields in Johnstown. Love that store. You guys stop by, you'll love it too. 4755 Ronald Reagan Boulevard. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Colorado Avalanche defenseman Cale Makar will grace the cover of EA Sports NHL 24 video game. That is awesome. Cale Makar is going to be on the cover of that. Yeah. He said, it is so cool when they were considering me to be part of this. It was just kind of like a wow moment. You grow up, you play all these games. And, man, it looks sharp, too. Did you see it? It's a pretty good shot there, Angel.
Looks good. I remember when they first signed him back in 2018. Signed him, and then the first game he played, he got a goal. And it was in that moment you kind of knew his kids could be special.
I mean, he's got so many trophies already. Rookie of the Year, the Norris Trophy, as the NHL's top defenseman, the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP during their Stanley Cup championship run, obviously the Stanley Cup. Yeah, that list goes on and on and on for Cale Makar. One of the great, 24 years old, dude. He's 24 and he's already achieved all of that. So congratulations to Cale Makar. Makes me want to buy a hockey game now. Like, I want to buy a hockey game. I want to buy a physical copy, though, because that would have him on the cover. But nowadays, everybody's buying them digitally and stuff. That's what I typically do. That's what I'm going to buy Madden on. But it's going to be, kind of makes me want to buy this year's NHL version, but buy the actual hard copy of it. Yeah, decisions. Brian Howell of the Buff Zone coming up next. We'll talk all things Colorado Buffaloes. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Just 34 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we're talking all things Colorado Buffaloes now with our guy Brian Howell, Colorado Buffs beat writer for Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, my man, things are heating up, my friend. A lot of stuff to get to when it comes to all things Colorado Buffaloes. And you know, you can't be wearing red anymore, okay, Brian? That's what we're hearing. No more red for you.
No, and you know, I'm wearing my shirt from the Sweet 16 when the women's basketball team went there in the spring. And there is a little bit of red because there's logos from teams as red. So I did violate the rule today when I went to practice, I guess.
What is the rule, Brian? Who does it pertain to? Where is it going to be regulated and all that stuff? Talk to us about the no red rule.
Well, I would imagine that it's, you know, McCartney-esque, where you can't wear red, period. Like, you know, you can't be on your shoes, no shirt, obviously, nothing on your hat. You know, it's certainly no red socks. I don't know if any players are wearing red socks, but, you know, I imagine it just can't be anywhere. Maybe if you got a red phone case, maybe you got to switch it out. So I don't know how strict they're going to be, but
yeah. Well, and that's what, the other thing, Brian. Too, like, who does the rule pertain to? Is this going to be campus wide, or is this just athletics? Because I mean, are we going to try to hold some students accountable? They walk into class one day, they're wearing a red polo. No, you got to get that thing out of here, man.
Well, I'm guessing it pertains just football wise, staff and players, but you know. You know, some of those, some of the old Buffs that have been there for a long time, it's ingrained in them. I remember one of my first years covering CU football, and I was wearing like a red polo shirt. And I went up to talk to Brian Cabral, who was the linebackers coach at the time. And I said hi to him, and he just kind of looked at me, and he said, "We don't wear red around here."
Mm.
And he was kind of joking, but not. And it was the last year of the Big 12, and I said, "Well, I said, you know, next year is probably okay." I said, "Although Utah wears red," and he looks at me and he goes, "There's only one team that wears red."
Wow.
And I was like, "Okay." And so, you know, there's clearly that deep hatred for the boys in Lincoln, you know, for many of the longtime Buffs. So I think that Deion doing that appeals to, you know, a lot of the longtime Buffs.
Well, you know, part of me, yeah, it's crazy. It's extreme, but you know, you're trying. You got Nebraska, man. We're rekindling this thing, and primetime's trying to buy all in to the rivalry. You know what? It's all good. We're in a day and age, Brian, where we're talking about rivalries being dead and stuff. Well, when you do get that chance to go up against an old bitter rival, ramp it up. Let's get this thing going. Let's turn up the dial. Let's make this a big time heated, hated rivalry once more.
Yeah, no question. And what we've already seen that, you know, he's very good at, appealing to the crowd, right? I mean, he's a showman. He's a very good football man. football coach. He was a great player, obviously, but he's an entertainer as well. And he knows how to appeal to people. And that's how you get people on your side in Buff Nation, is to show that you hate Nebraska. You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing. You know, you want to hate your rivalries. You want to make that a big thing for sure. And you know, we'll see how folks respond. You're just gonna have to do that double check every day, Brian. Make sure there's no red, nothing visible. If you do have red socks, make sure you got baggy enough pants to cover those bad boys up. That's all I'm gonna say.
You know, the hard part's gonna be, like, you know, if they get to a bowl game and it's like Christmas season, you know, and red not be allowed then. Like, what if they're then paired, like, let's say they're going to the Independence Bowl against Nebraska again, you know? What if that's the case? So that's going to be when it's tricky, is, you know, once you get to Christmas season.
You know what? Bridges we all must cross at some point in time, so we'll see. But that's a good point. Brian, on August 10th, you tweeted something out that went kind of crazy about a waiver situation with a former CU Buffs player. I was just entertained by reading all the comments on there. This was wild.
Yeah, it kind of took on a life of its own, and I don't know how it happened.
I don't either. Yeah, it's nuts.
It was really just backstory is there's a kid who was a quarterback for CU this last year that transferred in from Houston to CU last year and left the program about eight or nine days or whatever after Deion got here, went back in the transfer portal, is now at Miami of Ohio, and got his waiver denied to be able to be eligible this year because he's a second-time transfer. And so I kind of quote-tweeted that, or quote-exited, whatever it's called these days, and said that this is kind of crap, that any player on these situations should be able to be eligible. And there's a new coach who comes in, and people thought I was taking a shot at Coach Prime. And I even went to a second tweet and said, I'm not, this is not about
I think we're losing Brian, Angel. I do want to hear that, though. Let's hang up, try to call him back, because I want to get that story. Maddox, I believe it's Maddox Kopp, who was with the Buffs, who had already transferred. He transferred once to the Buffs. He was trying to transfer out, and the NCAA would not, they denied his waiver last week. And Brian had tweeted out, this is pretty crappy if the NCAA is going to allow first-year head coaches to get rid of players. The NCAA needs to allow those players to be immediately eligible at their new school. And a lot of people, like Brian was saying, a lot of people thought he was taking a shot at primetime, and that was not the case. He's just saying that if they're going to have a new coach come in that's basically begging players he doesn't really favor to move on, then they should make a couple of you know, exceptions to those rules. This is where I think the transfer portal is at its best. Brian, sorry we lost you there, man. But yeah, we were just kind of reiterating your tweet a little bit. And this, to me, is what the transfer portal at its core should be all about. When a coach comes in and can move guys left and right, well, this guy's doing what primetime kind of wanted, and now he can't seem to get onto another team.
Yeah, and actually it's more, I mean, he's on another team. He's at Miami of Ohio. It's just he's not allowed to play. He's not eligible because he's a second-time transfer. And, you know, that's the spirit of the rule, is you're allowed to transfer once and be eligible. But, you know, I was just making the point in my tweets that, you know, if they're going to allow first-year coaches to kind of move players around, they ought to allow players from those situations to be eligible immediately at a new school. And I even pointed out that that has nothing to do with Coach Prime or even this quarterback. It's just I think the NCAA gets it wrong here. And people just, you know, thought I was taking a shot at Coach Prime. And, you know, it took on a life of its own. It's been crazy.
It has been. And that's the thing. To me, it should – this is what the best part of the rule is. There's a lot of things that I'm not crazy about with the transfer portal, but I was kind of for it. This was the primary reason, was a new coach comes in. You came to this program for this reason, and then a new coach comes in and is basically begging you, if you're not kind of his guy, which I'm not knocking primetime for that either. He's got a job to secure. But you're not going to see eye to eye with this guy. You should be able to play the very next season on that side of it. So, yeah, I agree with the tweet, but, dude, 127,000 people viewed this thing. And, well, I saw – it's funny because I was just randomly scrolling Twitter, and I was on some Buff stuff. And I just saw people talk about, yeah, Brian's tweet this. And I was like, which tweet is that? And I remembered the tweet I didn't think it was that crazy, though, to be honest. But this is how it is in this world, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, I thought, I didn't even think about this ahead of time, but I mean, looking back at it, I thought, I'm taking a shot at the NCAA. Everybody can come together on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, nobody likes the NCAA, but that's not how a lot of people viewed it. And, you know, even, I even tried to clarify it, and, you know, it just, you know, people were pointing out he was, this player wasn't cut, and, like, I know that he wasn't, but that's not the point. It's players should be allowed, no matter what the situation, whether they leave on their own, because that's not the coach they came in with, right? That's all I was saying, and, you know, to your point, that's what, that to me is what the transfer portal should be about. But it just, the bigger thing to me was, I mean, the amount of people that thought I was taking a shot at Coach Prime, and I mean, there were the nasty things that I was called, you know, in response to that tweet. I can't even repeat, you know, it was just insane. And Coach Prime even brings it up in the press conference, and, you know, it was kind of, you know, brings up, well, you're embroiled in some controversy here. And, you know, I chatted with him afterwards and want to make sure that he knows that I wasn't, you know, dissing him at all. And he's like, well, it wasn't worded very well. I'm like, well, that's fine, but just wanted to make sure you know that I wasn't criticizing you. And he goes, yeah, we're good. You know, so, you know, it's in the Twitter world, or world, whatever we're calling it. Insane.
Yeah, yeah, Brian, I think we're losing you again, too. But fascinating, too, that Primetime did have something to say to you, brings it up at the press conference, comes up. I'm reading it now. I've read it over, like, 4 million times, as I tend to do, Brian. I read a lot of your tweets. And I'm just going, it's all just factual stuff. Nothing about it really reads as this is all Primetime's fault. It's just saying, if this is allowed, this should be allowed. So it's amazing how sensitive sometimes we get in the world of athletics, which is supposed to be a tough man, tough person sport.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a big, it's really kind of speaks to a bigger thing right now with CU, is that you have a lot of new fans that are really Coach Prime fans and not CU fans. And
true.
That's okay. That's totally fine. I mean, I welcome it. I mean, those people are, there's a lot more eyes on my stuff, and, you know, that helps. I love it. But, you know, they've kind of come in with a, they don't understand, you know, maybe some of the culture at Colorado, and they're, you know, pretty sensitive to any criticism or not even just 100% backing of everything Coach Prime does. And so, you know, and this wasn't even about him, but they're sensitive to that, that's on that life.
It's why I'm reading one of the comments, and I wanted to save this one because it says, Brian Howell never wanted Coach Prime. Hater shows his true colors. You never once said that, man. I mean, I feel like you've been pretty positive about the whole thing.
Yeah, what I did say throughout the process, there's no way to get him. Which wrong. I admit that, but I never once said that I don't want them to. It's, you know, yeah. So yeah, the things that people make up is crazy, and that's kind of what Prime said to me in the press conference was, now I feel, you know, that's how I feel. Honestly, it's Brady. It's one of those things I look at him. Man, I'm glad I'm not a big-time celebrity, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, this is a very, very sliver of celebrity that, you man, I wouldn't want to have a celebrity where you have to take time and, you know, the way Coach Prime puts himself out there, thousands of haters, right? And so,
I think we lost Brian there. Yeah, Brian, but I caught some of the gist there. Great points from him saying, dude, I would hate to be a celebrity. That's funny because Brian at a way bigger scale. He is a beat writer. He is a reporter. He is on this Buffs team. It's similar, but it's got its similarities to the tweet that I got. You know, I'm not going to say I got in hot water for, but some Rams fans were pretty upset with me because of the way it was worded when I simply said that CSU might be waiting by the phone. And Brian's was, this player should be able to play if coaches or new coaches are able to come in and pick and choose who they want. And this guy doesn't fit his mold. Very similar on that response.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction to Brian's tweet was far more visceral and
I didn't get some of the stuff that he got, yeah.
To his point about these new Buffs fans and the Prime fans and all of that, it's you can see it. And that's why when we get on the show and we ask Buffs fans, why are you confident about this team? Why are you confident about Coach Prime? We don't want to hear just because he's Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm.
We got recruits in. We come in. That's great. But why is your team going to be successful at football?
So
tell us that.
It's fascinating, too, that Brian's bringing up a good point. there is a brand new contingency of Buffs fans that are primetime fans.
That are just like, they're just acting like CU just started back in March.
They're here for primetime. They followed him here. And so there are Buffs fans, and now there's primetime fans. Those fans, are they going to be able to sing Kumbaya when it's all said and done?
Well, we're talking just about fans here. What about players?
Same thing. There's going to be a few players on this team.
Players that didn't even know what Boulder was before last year.
Yeah.
And now they're supposed to be, you know, shoulder to shoulder running out with Ralphie, prideful. I don't know about that.
Already some buzz, man. Already some controversy going on over there. I don't know how bad this is.
There's no red flags there, Brady.
Well, there's no red at all there. Allow red over there, Angel.
That's so, like, are we just not going to wear purple or green or gold?
Here's what I don't like. Brian said, like, his first year there or something, covering, like, one of the assistant coaches came up and said, we don't wear red around here. I'm not on your team, bro.
Right.
I'm not paid by you, bro. I write about you. I'm paid to write about you, but not by you. If my editor or my boss tells me, Brady, we like to play along, so don't wear any red. Okay.
Do you think Nebraska fans go around saying, hey, don't wear black and gold. Don't do it. Do you think Nebraska sees CU as that rival? I don't think so.
I don't even think they have black and gold colors in Nebraska. I think they stopped making those kind of colors. They don't have them there.
That's just strange.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's prime and it's entertaining. All fun and fun for TV and social media. But, you know, when they have four losses at the end or four wins at the end of the year, where's all the prime time shine going to be?
It'll be a blame on Boulder. They'll blame Boulder.
They'll blame the fans.
I do think Nebraska hates CU. I do. I honestly think that the hate. I think there's hate there.
But do they really look at CU as like, I'm worried about that September 9th game?
I think CU
should be worrying about their September 2nd game.
I think so, too. Texter, I feel like it's very high school of them to do that. We didn't wear red at Platte Valley because of Eaton, but that was primarily just the week we played them. I don't have a problem with it.
Ohio State and Michigan, they do their weird thing where they cross out all the M's in Ohio for whatever. That's fine, but they do that the week of.
You're right. It is weird now.
The week of Nebraska, not 3-4 weeks ahead of it.
It is weird to do it now.
Because like Brian said, what if it's Christmas time in Boulder and I want to wear my new Christmas sweater? Oh, it's red. Can't wear it. Is Brian going to come rolling down the street in his semi-truck and point me out and say, hey, you ain't rocking with the Buffs. Take that shirt off. Coach, it's negative 20 out here.
Holyoke says, is that Nebraska game the make or break game for CU?
There's no make or break for CU. They're going all the way this year.
There's no make or break game for them this year. They could lose out and primetime still their coach next year. My big concern about primetime is his health. Things I keep hearing, that traveling's going to be tough and sidelines are going to be difficult and all that stuff. So I just wonder how long-term he is there. I really do. 12:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back to the show. Holyoke texting in. I'd argue that it's a make-or-break game for the fan base. This CU-Nebraska game will be very demoralizing for the hype train. The hype train will just kind of do whatever Angels and Tanner's Rockies bus does when things go bad. It just kind of disappears for a little bit. And then it'll come back. But yeah, you lose. You're going to lose to TCU. Then you lose to Nebraska. Then all the hype will be focused on beat the hell out of the Rams. And then if you lose that game, then the hype train.
We're going to upset the Trojans.
Now,
here we go.
Parked at that point. You're 0-3.
Being disassembled at that point.
There's no more hype train. I don't believe so. I think it's all... I think you're just like, you know what? It was just new this year.
At the end of the year, and it'll be in
oh, yeah, then it'll be
fashion.
Rebuilding for next year. We should have just been more patient. And I don't think it's make or break for anybody, though. The pressure is to win, but you're in the Big 12. You're already there. You got your money. You're happy where you are right now. This is why, though, Angel's so annoyed at the hype, because any other time a new coach comes in, you take a calculated approach to it. And, you know, we're just looking to be better than what we were last year. And that's not what the Buffs are saying. Flying Dutchman, see you will be 2-1. Mm-mm. No, no. They might beat Nebraska.
Who are they losing to?
He's got them. Well, he'll say TCU. So he got them beating Nebraska and CSU, which I guess isn't that. The Nebraska game to me is a flip of the coin. I don't know anything about Nebraska other than what they tell you on the previews and depth charts and stuff, but we haven't seen this team play under Matt Rhule, and we haven't seen this team play under primetime. So we got two unknowns going at it. 12:57 the time, final hour of the program. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.